Hindsight. I looked this up in the dictionary, and it's understanding after the fact. Understanding after the fact. The ability or opportunity to understand and to judge an event or an experience after it has occurred. You know, as a young boy, and quite honestly, even today, when I read these passages about Moses, I have a little jealousy kind of creeps up inside. Anybody else? Yeah, I mean, I just would love to be Moses in this situation. To have the kind of experiences Moses had. And there's one dimension of Moses' religious experience in particular that I would want to have, and that's the intimacy he had with God. I just can't even imagine the closeness he had with God, to actually meet and talk with God. You know, it's like two friends. As a matter of fact, Exodus 33:11 says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." Wow. Can you even imagine? You see, this was at the time of the Hebrew people's wilderness wanderings. And Moses, he would take the tent of meeting out of the camp. And Moses would go into the tent, and a pillar of cloud, just think about this, try to wrap your mind around it. A pillar of cloud would descend and block the entrance of the tent. And there the Lord would speak to Moses personally. Moses only as a friend, face to face. For any person who loves God, I mean, can there really be any higher ambition than to be able to do that, to have that gift, to speak with the God of the universe, literally, physically, face to face. Moses had that. You know, despite those conversations, Moses yearned for more. Isn't that kind of the way humans are? We always want the next step of what we don't have, don't we? It seems like a lot of good comes out of it, but sometimes it can get in the way as well. He yearned for more. He wanted to behold God's presence, literally to see God. And Moses asked God if he can see his glory. Now, think about this for just a moment. Take a trip with me. God has freed the Hebrew people from Egypt, from being slaves. God has led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, would we need any more? I mean, I could stop right there, couldn't I? Right? God has fed them with manna and quails and gave them fresh water where there was no water. God has promised them a homeland. Today's needs are taken care of by God's grace for these folks. God has promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. I just hope it's fresh milk, not sour. And Moses is asking for a face-to-face meeting. It just seems kind of, why, right? Well, Moses is wanting to see what God really looks like. I suppose it's natural. You have these conversations that God's presence is there. We say face-to-face, but you know, it's maybe Moses just really wanted to see who this God was that he was so close to. On the one hand, he has a demanding God. On the other hand, he is leading a frightened and cantankerous people. So he, in essence, is saying to God, "Give me just a little glimpse, God. I know we talk like we're face to face, but let's make it literally face to face. Just one time to make it easier for me to trust you and to lead in a confident way, God. Just a glimpse." And so Moses asked God, "Show me your glory, I pray," in Exodus 33:18. Now, God offers Moses something, but not everything. God says, "You know what? I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But God said, you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. You know, that was always an interesting thought to me because, as I studied in seminary, I began to believe in this, and I still do. I don't want you to think I don't. But this forgiving God, this loving God who is present in the pains and the sorrows of people, as well as the most ecstatic and exciting times of their life. And I come across a scripture like this, where when you see God's face, you cannot live. And it was always interesting to me because when I was getting my master's, my thesis was on this loving and forgiving God, and it was hard for me to reconcile these thoughts. Right? So I spent a lot of time trying to figure that out. And you know, tell me something. For a God who is present in the pains and the sorrows of every person's life on this earth and anywhere else there's life, what would be reflected in his face? Maybe the overload is too much for us finite-minded people. Maybe it's nothing intentional by God. Maybe it's just the way it is, a perfect being like God and us, fallible, sinful. Who knows? Whatever it is, God told Moses, you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. So God is going to let his goodness pass before Moses and proclaim his name with his voice. You know, it's interesting how we use all these things. And what is God's voice? What is God's hand? What is God's back? What is God's face, right? But we use these just to help us. So instead, God will let him see his back. And the Bible says, see, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now you have to understand, like I said, what is God's face? What is his hand? What is his back? How would this make any difference? Maybe except to God, right? But anyway, God walks by, quote unquote, walks by, and with his own hand, he covers the opening of the rock and protects Moses. And then God, having passed by and facing away, he lifts his hand and Moses glances up and sees God's back. Sees God himself, but only his back. And what does that mean? What does that mean that Moses saw only God's back? Well, I mean, one thing that is probably, at least seems obvious to me, God is with Moses. God is with the Hebrew people, right? God is present with them. He is there. He listens. He responds. The second thing that I could think of is, well, at least we could infer, is since Moses sees only God's back, right? That God is moving ahead of his people. That God is leading his people. That's something that Moses needed to know. And it's something we need to know too. We need these two things in our arsenal for living. We need to know that God is there. We need to know that God is listening, that God is responding. Now, as you know, we've had several funerals here in the last several weeks, and at a funeral, many of you have experienced this in your own life. Our hearts are broken. We weep and we lean on the ones that we love and many times cry on their shoulders. And at the funeral service, we need to know that God hears and responds. Amen. When we lose our jobs and worry so much about what tomorrow might bring, we need to know that God listens and responds. When it's 3 o'clock in the morning and your kid hasn't come home yet, and each minute drags like an hour, you need to know that God is listening. God is responding. Amen? We need to know that God is out there, that God is in charge, that God is leading us in this world. Life gets scary, even for the bravest of person. You know, the drums of war are getting dusted off, aren't they? We wonder if we'll be making our mortgage payments, or if our lifestyles will have to slide, or if we'll be able to do things we've dreamed of and yearned to do. We wonder what will happen to our church, and we need to know that we are not alone in what seems like a heartless, cold, decaying universe. We need to know that God is in charge. We need to know that God is leading us somewhere. Amen? Somewhere good. That in the future is life. Abundant life and heaven. You see, Moses found out. He saw God, not God's face, but God walking ahead, leading the way. Moses needed that. We need that. Don't we need that? But there's one more thing, one powerful truth that this odd and haunting story of seeing God's back tells us. And it tells us that the truth is we sometimes see where God is or has been in hindsight. By looking back and reflecting on a situation or on our life. Not by seeing God's face, but by seeing where He has been, where He has passed by. One of the neat things about boating is looking at the wake. I kind of get mesmerized by that. I've never been on a ship, but I understand that when you're on a ship and you look over the stern and you see the neat rows of waves and bubbles gurgling behind the ship, you know the ship is moving. When you sail, if the wind is light and you look ahead, it might seem as if you're not moving at all. But if you look behind the boat, you see the swirls and the eddies by the stern, and that shows us, yes, we are moving in a direction. We are making progress. We are moving forward. When you walk in the snow, you can make, see, it's 100 and some degrees, and I'm talking about snow. Psychology here, right? When you walk in the snow, you can make out your progress by looking at the tracks you've made, right? You and I may not actually be able to see God, not physically, like Moses did that strange day long ago, but we can see where God has been. Hindsight. Understanding after the fact. The ability or the opportunity to understand and judge an event or experience after it has occurred. You know, sometimes we don't see God coming. We don't realize that God desires to meet with us, that God wants to be part of every aspect of our lives. We've put Him in a box instead and imagine God to be much smaller than He is. In one way, that is the entire story of the Old Testament. Humanity trying to put God in a box, right? And the story of Jesus is saying God has never been in a box, folks. You got to understand this. God is bigger than any box or any definition that we could even conceive of. But anyway, we've put Him in a box and imagine God to be much smaller than He is. And when God comes close, we're really unaware many times. I mean, okay, I'm unaware. If you're aware, come and talk to me because I want to be aware. There have been a couple worship services where I was very aware that God was present. And I give God praise for that gift. Moses experienced the presence of God in some pretty spectacular ways. We read in today's scripture that Moses saw God, but only in hindsight. In many ways, We're just exactly like that. We may say we want to see God, but we couldn't survive His direct approach. But when God has passed by, when we had a brush with His glory, we see Him in hindsight. We say, oh yes, that was the hand of God. God was with me there. God touched my life, and I didn't even realize it at the time. The Apostle Paul said, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now, Paul says, I know only in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I have also been fully known. You see, one day our sight will improve. Amen? But until then, our view is constrained, right? Seek to daily stretch your awareness of God's glorious presence. God is truly with you. Although we need to understand that God is always ahead of us, right? God is always pulling us forward. God is always, when we're hanging out with God, we're never going to be the same again, are we? God is constantly changing us. Take time to look back and be amazed at the eddies and the currents and the footprints that God has left trailing behind you, and say, oh yes, God was with me and I wasn't even aware of it. Is this the truth Moses learned that day? The future remains a mystery, right? We don't know what the next hour will bring, let alone tomorrow or next week. Maybe it's better that way. Maybe that's how it's supposed to be. It is certainly the way God is leaving it in our story for today. We know we shall be changed, received by God, and live with God eternally. Jesus showed us that. But there is much else we don't know. We cannot see the face of God. We do not know why people suffer. We do not know why cancer claims little children and our husbands and our wives. We cannot see the face of God. Our scripture for today says that we would die if we did, but we have Him with us, listening and responding. We can see Him ahead of us, pulling us forward, and we can see the evidence of where He has been, we have been, the wake, the footprints of God, God's tracks in the snow. Are they the difference that God has made, where He has touched His people to love their neighbors as themselves? When Jesus was here walking the world, we knew where He had been, right? Listen to me. Stick with me here. God might be in this moment and you don't want to miss it, right? You see, Jesus left the religious people challenged. Jesus left the leper whole. Jesus left the sinful forgiven. Jesus left the temple cleansed. Jesus left disciples equipped to witness. Jesus left the lame leaping for joy. Jesus left the blind seeing. Jesus left the hungry full. Jesus left the poor rich. He left the mourners consoled. He left the seekers at their destination. He led the lost back home. He left the weary rested. He left those who wanted to trap Him astonished. He left the weak strong. He left the sick well. He left the outcast loved and welcomed. We are the people with whom God goes in front of. English teachers, do not get mad at me for using wrong English there. Just understand the point. We are the people with whom God goes in front of. Where we have been and spoken and lived and worked, people should be able to say, the glory of God passed by this spot. Amen? My question this week to you is this. What will you do this week that will be evidence to others that God is leading you? Let's pray. Holy God, we celebrate You today. Your holiness is more than we can understand, and according to your scripture, more than we can bear. And so as we leave this place, as we go to our Sunday school classes, and after that, as we go to breakfast or home or wherever we go, in Jesus' name, I ask for your anointing on each of us, not only to strengthen us and to give us courage, but also, Lord, to allow your presence to be seen in our wake, to allow people that we meet, people that we talk to, people that we say hi to, people that we just wave to, allow them to understand God through us has been in their life. And let us glorify you, God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.